Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Judges 6, and it's verses 12 to 24. It should be on the screen in the back, yeah. So it's Judges 6, and it's 12 to 24. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day it stands on Ophrah of the Abiezrites.
Thanks, Andy. Good morning, everybody. It's great bank holiday weather, isn't it? It's beautiful. Keeps me out of the garden, which is even better. This morning I want to just spend a little time looking at this story that Andy has read to us this morning. And it is one of my favourite stories, the story of Gideon. And Gideon lived during a terror-filled time when the Midianites did everything they could to steal or destroy them as a nation, to destroy their crops, to destroy their livestock, destroy everything, to the point that the Israelites were forced to hide in caves in the mountains and almost starved. This terrorism was for 7 years, and the Midianites were described like a plague of locusts that would swarm in. And I don't know if you've ever seen a nature program where you see locusts when they rise up and they just devour everything. Everyone in, and everything in their path just flees because they leave nothing untouched. But this was because Israel had turned its back on God and it decided to follow false gods, in particular the god Baal, and who was actually a god of fertility and prosperity, thinking that he would provide what God wasn't giving them. But God kept saying to them, "Turn back to me." And time and again, they kept saying, "No, we're happy as we are." He even sent a prophet to them once again who said, "I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." And at this point, they are ready to listen and change their ways. And it's at this point that Gideon comes into the story. Gideon's family were all worshippers of Baal. And it seems that in some small way, Gideon was still holding on to this trust in God. But he was so beaten down, so completely weak in the way that he was, that the work he's trying to do, he's trying to thresh corn, and he's doing it hiding in a wine press. Wine presses at that time would have been holes in the ground. And he's hiding just in case this swarm of an army comes back in again. He's trying to do his work. He's feeling low. He's thinking God has abandoned them when the angel of the Lord appears, because God sees things differently. We may be in a situation at the moment where you think the world's coming in against you, that whichever way you turn, things just never work out, or you get hit by one problem and then another one comes along immediately after it. But God sees things differently. And in Gideon, God sees potential. And the angel tells him of his potential at a time in his life when he's probably at one of his lowest points. The angel of the Lord stands in front of him and greets him with the words, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon was called a mighty warrior, not because he had been a mighty warrior, not because at that moment in time he's there all kitted out, ready to go into battle. He's there threshing wheat, for goodness sake. He's probably got strong arms, but it's just from doing the crops, not from actually ever holding a sword in his hand. But it's in anticipation of the bravery that he will one day show. And God often sees the potential in us long before we ever do. He created you and he created me. And he saw that we are good. We are made in his image. But so often we consider ourselves the way that the world sees us. I imagine that statement, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," stopped Gideon in his tracks. Probably looked round to say, "Is there somebody else here? Is there another guy stood behind me?" He didn't believe what he was hearing. "Who, me?" Everything other than God has crowded in. Every problem, near starvation, everything being stripped away by the Midianites. And for you, you might be going through a situation at the moment where that is the case for you, where you feel at your lowest point, where you feel like, "Where do I turn to next?" Or maybe you feel that God is calling you and you think, "Why me?" "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Somebody may have said something similar to you in the past, spoken into your life and said, "God's going to do this in your life." And your response might have been, "Me? Why me? There's no way that can happen." That's the way it was with Gideon that day. He's saying, "It can't be me. You must have this wrong. You must have the wrong person. There are mighty warriors in this land, but they're on the other side." And so he starts questioning. He said, "Well, why is all this happening to us? Why is God allowing all this to happen to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of the Midianites." I think it's interesting that the angel of the Lord doesn't answer those questions, doesn't look at the past problems, but wants to deal where Gideon is at that moment. The angel was there for a specific purpose, to call Gideon out, to call him out of hiding, to call him out of the unbelief of who God was calling him to be, to make something of the potential that God had identified in him. And when God recognizes our potential, sometimes it takes us a long time to catch up. I know there have been periods in my life where 4-5 years have gone by before I've actually realized what it actually was God was saying to me, what it was that he wanted me to do. And so we live in excuses. The excuses of, "I can't do it, I'm not good enough," I'm not a mighty warrior. I could never do that. You've got to be joking. Me? I don't have the time. I don't have the skills. I could never. And the list goes on and on and on. But the reality is, God might be calling you to do something for him. Or he might be calling you back to himself today. Because Gideon hadn't experienced anything positive for such a long time. And all he could talk about was his current situation. And this is often the way we are when we are living with our problems or our own view of what we're capable of. We're living in what we see around us and not focusing our eyes on the God who can save us. There are very few of us who would realize what possibilities there are and potential that is locked up in us until somebody comes along and shows us, until God directly speaks into our lives, until they say that we're able to attempt something that we have always considered impossible. I wonder this morning, do you see yourself in Gideon? Gideon still didn't understand what God was trying to say. So God brings Gideon along step by step. How do we get our thinking into agreement with what God thinks about us? And there's a couple of things I think we need to do. One is action. The angel of the Lord turns to him and says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." And for a long time, I thought that what God is saying is, go with the little strength that you have now and go and take this step of faith into what I'm going to give you. But the reality is, the angel of the Lord was trying to get Gideon in the right frame of mind to actually, that God had a work for him to do, but he had to start taking action from that moment rather than making excuses as to why he couldn't do it. And I think we have to begin where we are open and honest with ourselves. Where are we before God today? What is it that God might want us to do? If we are feeling weak, God is still there. If we are feeling on top of the world, God is still there. And he still cares. Whether we're in the pit of the wine press or on top of the mountain, he is still the same God. And for you, you might need to hear that today. That he actually wants to equip us with the strength that we have. Because if we have him with us, then we have all that we need. Hebrews 11:34 gives us a little more insight into this. Where it says, "Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies." That when we are actually open and honest before God of where we're at, however weak or however strong we may feel, whatever situation we are going through, that at that moment, God meets with us. And God walks with us. I wonder if any of you have seen the latest, one of the reality documentary series that's on at the moment, The Island with Bear Grylls. It's my new pet love of television. Just because of the dynamic of seeing two groups of people. There are two islands in the Pacific, one with men on, one with women. And it's just interesting, they start with a group of about 14 on each island, and they basically are taught by Bear Grylls before they go out how to survive in this jungle, tropical paradise that actually is, as they soon find out, is actually trying to kill them. And on a different night, on a Wednesday and a Thursday night, one night is the women, one night is the men, and it shows you how they're both getting on. And I can safely say they are both doing really badly. And they're at that point now, they're struggling to find food, they're making rash decisions based because they're so weak. They've all looked like they've been on this super fast diet, and they're all getting irritable. And just last week I was watching it, and on the women's island, one half of the group decided to go off and look for somewhere better to camp while the others stayed there. The interesting thing was, this group that went off had no clear leader. And they ended up doing massive circles in the middle of the jungle in the island and kept ending up back at the same beach about 5 or 6 times, which apparently us as humans, if we have no clear leader, we will walk around in circles. It could be a few miles, it could be hundreds of miles, but we always seem to tend to go around in circles. So the group that had been left there for 3 days without food and water decided, we're going to go and find them. And they've not eaten, they've not had water, but they decide they're going to follow the coastline and then go across a swamp. And this swamp was a mango swamp, and I don't know if you've ever seen mango swamps, but it's thick mud with lots of roots from the mango trees. And this one particular woman is falling behind. The heat of the sun is beating down on her, and nobody else really likes her in the camp, and so most of them are leaving her behind. And she gets to that point where both her feet are stuck completely in the mud, and she hasn't got the strength to go on. And Bear Grylls, with his helpful commentary, comes in and goes, oh, well, it looks like it could be the end for her. It's like, yeah, thanks for that, Bear. But at that moment, she hasn't got the strength to get her legs out. One of the younger women walks up, stomping through the mud, gets hold of her under her arm and says, come on, together we can do this. We can get out of this. Together, step by step, we will carry on. And they get out of it together. And that, to me, at that moment, God just said, that's what I want to do with so many people, is just to get them under their arm, to actually hold on to them and just speak into their lives and just show them that this is not where you're supposed to be. I want to walk with you and get you out of the mud and the mire and put you back on the solid ground. The strength that Gideon was promised was the promise of the Lord's presence with him. When the Apostle Paul was facing persecution and certain death, and no one else was there for his defense, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 these words, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Most of the time we are focusing on our own limited strength, our own abilities, our own resources. And we might say, I don't have much to offer you, God. And God looks at us and goes, it's not about what you give me, it's about what I can give to you. Gideon failed to see how the Lord would work through him. But if the Lord strengthens us by his presence, therefore, we are equipped. We've got all that we need if we've got God with us. And we can then see our potential in him released. The strength that Gideon possessed was not his own strength. But as it says in verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself, with his presence, with his Spirit. That is what God wants to do in you and in me. He wants to clothe us with his presence, with his Spirit. It's not about our strength, but his strength in us. And God says, I will be with you. I will be with you in whatever you face this week. I will be with you when you go through the darkest of times. I will be with you when you're here on Sunday praising my name. But when you're facing the problems of life, when you're facing the debts and whatever else it might be, but we've got to experience it for ourselves. And Gideon still didn't realize who it was that was speaking to him. And he didn't recognize the angel for who he was, but finally he did. And he came to recognize the supernatural character of the visitor only gradually. And then even again said, well, if it is really you, will you just just wait a minute, I'm just going to go and prepare a sacrifice and get some stuff together. And then when that happens, and then God tells him what he wants him to do, he goes, well, just to make sure, I'm just going to lie a fleece out. And then when God answers that, he goes, well, just to make doubly sure, I'm just going to lay another one out. And if you do things differently that time. God wants us to go in the strength that we have. If we know God's presence is with us, he wants us to experience all that he has for us. And I wonder if God is present but unrecognized in your situation today. Have you recognized and accepted all that God has done for you already in and through Jesus? How does this happen? Another key verse in this chapter is in verse 34, which says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon certain people for a specific task. In the New Testament, we see there comes the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit is poured out upon the disciples, and they are given a task to do. Acts 1 verse 8 reads, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has all the resources you and I need. He has given us his Holy Spirit through all that Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection. Are you just beginning to notice God at work in your life? Or are you looking for assurance that God is with you? Maybe you've lost sight of God because of your situation. Or maybe you're starting to ask God of his plans for you. God says, I am with you. I have everything that you need. It's time for you to give your life to me and let me start to shape you into the person I made you to be. Will you respond to that call? That he will give you the strength that you need. Realize that he will clothe you with his presence when you go in the strength that you have. Begin today to step out to respond simply to the wide open arms and the hope of a God who cares, because he knows, he understands, he provides, he strengthens you because he loves you. And here's the key, he gives you peace. Verse 23, the Lord says to Gideon, after the angel has gone, my peace is with you. If there's nothing else in the world that we can know, if things just never seem to get any better, when we've got God, we can know his peace with us. In Ephesians 3, Paul writes, and in the lead up to this passage, he's saying, I'm coming to an end. I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've done all that I can to glorify God. And as I come to the end of this message today, I really felt that God wanted me to do something now and just pray a prayer of Paul over you as his people. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 3. And it's in from verse 14. And as I do it, I'm going to kneel because the first line is, I kneel before the Father. And my hope and my prayer for you today is that you would know the strength that you have in God. That there is nothing else that will come close to all that God can give you. It's not about us going in the little strength that we have, but allowing God to fill us by his Spirit to do what he calls us to do. Let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.